We've all read the same story, but we haven't used the same analytical apparatus. If you've ever spent time in a literature classroom as a student or a professor, you know this moment. It may seem at times as if the professor is either inventing interpretations out of thin air or else performing parlor tricks, a sort of analytical sleight of hand. Actually, neither of these is the case. Rather, the professor, as the slightly more experienced reader, has acquired over the years the use of a certain language of reading, something to which the students are only beginning to be introduced. What I'm talking about is a grammar of literature, a set of conventions and patterns, codes and rules that we learn to employ in dealing with a piece of writing. Every language has a grammar, a set of rules that govern usage and meaning, and literary language is no different. It's all more or less arbitrary, of course, just like language itself. Take the word arbitrary as an example. It doesn't mean anything inherently. Rather, at some point in our past, we agreed that it would mean what it does, and it does so only in English. Those sounds would be so much gibberish in Japanese or Finnish. So too with art. We decided to agree that perspective, the set of tricks artists use to provide the illusion of depth, was a good thing and vital to painting. This occurred during the Renaissance in Europe, but when Western